Gentlemen and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. The chairman of the board, Mr. David Reed, is here today. Hello, Mr. David Reed.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I am fabulous. You know, yesterday I was
sitting
there. Wait a
minute, that hair's looking pretty good. Would you have something special going on today?
Well, no, I just, it was time for me to go to Kimball and to get my usual cut. Kimball does a fabulous job with my hair.
I'm jealous.
Well, maybe you should go see Kimball. Maybe he'll help you out.
He can't help what's not there.
I was going to say, I don't know if even Kimball can work his magic on you, but maybe he could with you having no hair. If you tried to grow hair, what would happen?
Oh, it would grow everywhere except the parts I want it to grow. Like, it grows wild everywhere I don't want it to grow. I can't cultivate it where it needs to be.
So where does it grow? Like, on the sides and around?
Oh, yeah. The typical male pattern baldness.
I'm sure Kimball could help you. Probably not much, but he could try. So, yesterday, I was thinking about this week. I don't know about you guys. It was Sunday. And I was thinking about the week ahead. And I was like, man, I think I'm working every day this week, Monday through Friday, right here on 102.5 The Game. And not to say that working every day during the week is not something that I can do. It's just late July usually doesn't happen. When I'm 5 days locked in late June, early July, before the Titans hit training camp, it doesn't happen that often. And so I was sitting there thinking, wait a minute. Why am I not, again, not to sound lazy, my son was born on a Wednesday and I was back at work on Monday. So it's not as if like I don't put in the hours, but I'm like, huh, why haven't I? And then I remembered, oh, because the Predators are picking fifth in the draft on Friday night. So welcome to the biggest week in the Nashville Predators future. You know, some people say, welcome to the biggest week in the history of the, I'm not saying that. But welcome to the biggest week in the future of the Nashville Predators. And it is not just the biggest week in the future of the Nashville Predators because it's this week and the next week will be. No. It's the biggest week because on Friday, the Predators will be on the clock with the fifth pick and there will be centers aplenty to choose from that will be on the board. And there will also be some goal-scoring wingers that they can pick from. And they also have two other first-round picks at 23 and 26. 23 was acquired for Tanner Jeannot. 26 was acquired in that Yaroslav Askarov trade. But again, those aren't as important as the fifth overall pick in the draft. And I will say this, I was bummed out, as I'm sure many of you were bummed out on the night of the draft lottery. But at the end of the day, the Predators will have their choice between one of these guys, at least one of the following, not all of these guys, but they'll at least have a pick from this bushel. James Hagans, Brady Martin, Porter Martone, Anton Frundell, Jake O'Brien, Roger McQueen, and Caleb Denoyer. I will enjoy saying that. Two of those guys will probably be gone by the time the Predators pick at five. So that seven player list is really down to a total of five different guys that they have the option to choose from. And that said, I don't know enough about these guys. This week, I'm going to do a lot of homework. When I was on vacation last month, Scott Wheeler, who is the lead draft analyst for The Athletic, was on with the midday show, and I went back this morning. I had Ian this morning send me that Scott Wheeler interview from the beginning of May because I wanted to hear what he had to say about the prospects. I've been reading about the prospects. I am fascinated when it comes to the prospects about who the Predators are going to pick because even though I can't really tell you that much other than heights and weights and things that certain people have said about Caleb Denoyer or Jake O'Brien or Porter Martone or whatever, the Predators absolutely, positively have to nail this fifth overall pick. No ifs, ands, or buts. We can't look back on this draft and say, well, it was the ping pong balls that screwed them. We can't do that. Whomever they pick has to be the number one center on the Nashville Predators 7 years from now. That doesn't mean that we have to wait 7 years for that guy to become the number one center on the Predators. But I am saying that 7 years from today, that guy must absolutely be the number one center on the Nashville Predators. That is, unless they pick Porter Marton, who's a winger. Whomever they pick has to be the centerpiece of the rebuild that began in 2023 when David Poile traded Nino Niederreiter to the Jets, which signaled that finally the Predators were waving the white flag. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I was thinking about kind of the last run with the Predators, and we all know that they went to 7 games in 2016 in the second round with San Jose. They went to the Cup Final in 17. They won the President's Trophy in 18. They won the division in 19. They shipped out Subban and brought in Matt Duchene, and then they fired Laviolette, and they lost in the bubble, but they said, oh, we're going to try to rebuild this thing on the fly, and then they lost in the first round of the playoffs in 21. They got swept in 22, but they said, no, we're right there. And by the time we got to about 2020, 2021, 2022, everybody was like, all right, it's time to give up the charade. That 17 thing is over. I remember Floyd saying, this is how far back it goes, saying that 2017 run, that was magic. And to bank anything on 2017, I mean, that's just not happening. And finally, before the deadline in 23, David Poile waved the white flag and it was time to rebuild. And at that point, we all knew, like, hey, this may get a little rough. But we were kind of in favor of it. Now, I didn't expect the Predators to make the playoffs 2 years ago, and I certainly didn't expect them to stink this past year. But I knew, and so did you, that the Predators needed stars. And while there are several ways to acquire stars in the NHL, the only real way, unless you've just got everything going for you at just the right time, is to stink. That's just how it is. You want to know how Florida got so good? How they got Sasha Barkov? How they got Aaron Ekblad? They sucked. You want to know how Edmonton got Draisaitl and McDavid? They sucked. So here's your chance. Here's your chance. This fan base is not going to allow for another bad season where the Predators are picking within the top five. I mean, there are people now who 2 years into this, when the general manager again started a rebuild, I mean, they want to fire him now because last year was bad. I feel like Barry Trotz, if this team ends up picking top five next year, I feel like Barry Trotz will be out of a job. Even if that's not what I would do if I owned the team. And even though that player that they picked on, that they will pick on Friday night, might not be with the NHL club this coming season, or at least consistently be with the NHL club, they have to nail it. That has to be a first-line center. That has to be an all-star. That has to be a big boy forward. I do not believe, and again, I have no sourcing on this. I don't know Bill Haslam. I have no sourcing on this about how he would run this team, but I'm just telling you, I'm not sure Barry Trotz will be around if they're picking in the top five this upcoming season. I also think, as bad as it was at times last year, I think their roster has too many solid players, even though they're old pawpaws. They have too many good players to be this bad next year. So I don't think Barry Trotz is going to get another top five pick. So this is the week. This is the week that will determine the Predators' fate, not in the immediate future, but long term. And while I don't really know personally the difference between all of these guys, again, Hagans and Martin and Martone and Frundell and O'Brien and McQueen and Denoyer, etc., I'm just going to tell you, they better get it right. They better get it right. If this is a trade back, for instance, Puck Daddy brought up Greg Wyshynski, brought up the idea that the Islanders might try to trade back to go get James Higgins and Matthew Schaefer in this year's draft. Good luck to them, but that they may try that. If that's the case and the Predators trade that spot, again, they better get it right. That's the reality of the situation. They better get it right. And so while, again, June, and there's a lot of radio hosts out there that I think are get kind of lazy when it comes to this time of year, they'll sit there and say, well, I mean, you know, it's June, and what are we going to talk about? And what are we going to – anything that – again, if you really care about the Predators and you were in favor of giving up on the constant chase with bullcrap, like all we have to do, Jared, is get into the playoffs and then anything is possible. Once you gave up on that and you knew this team had to rebuild at the end of the David Poile run, this is the most important week of the year for the Nashville Predators. Because even if they're better this upcoming season, and I expect them to be better this upcoming season, even if they're better, they're not going to beat Edmonton, okay? They're not going to beat Dallas. They're not going to beat Colorado. They're not going to beat Vegas. They're not going to beat Winnipeg. They're not going to beat those teams in the Western Conference. They're not going to be that good, even if they are better than they were last year, even if they make the playoffs. It's going to be like 2 years ago where they're a first-round team. But the reason I say this and the reason I bring this up is because, again, you may care more about the games you actually watch. You may care more about the games you buy tickets to. You may get more excited when the players hit the ice for training camp. You may not care so much about a 17-year-old Scandinavian. But I am here to tell you, Friday is going to determine the fate of the Predators. So I'm going to tell you right now, here's your chance. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. We will be all in this week, as far as draft week is concerned. I want to make sure I can say this for certainty. Just want to make sure. Hold on. I'm trying to make sure that I don't get anything all screwed up here and say something before I'm supposed to say it. I'll just put it to you like this. I think it is very likely that we will have Barry Trotz on this program this week. And we are not going to hold back. You know this about this program. Again, I know, you know, Joe Rexroad thinks that I'm a big Trotz homer and all that. We got to ask it about if this team stinks this year, you getting fired. We'll ask it. We'll ask the questions about the current roster, but we'll also ask about these guys because these guys, to me, are more important than anything else they may do. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025. So I heard Robbie Stanley say something this morning that I understand where he's coming from. I get it. But I just don't think from a priority standpoint that it really matters. I think it will matter to some of you. But again, from a priority standpoint, I don't think it should. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number at Stillman & Company. 1025-1063 The Game.
How confident should he be that those players, among others, can indeed be that next generation?
I think Barry Trotz should have a lot of confidence in the fact that he's got a number of NHL players and solid, good NHL players in the pool. I think Tanner Molendijk's going to be a top four defenseman in the NHL. Top four defensemen in the NHL nowadays make $6-7 million, and I think that's what he's capable of getting to. I look at David Edstrom as a potential middle six C. I look at Matthew Wood as a potential top nine scoring winger. Matthew has to work on his pace of play and his skating. That's always been the concern with Wood. But as far as the ability to shoot it on the power play and the skill for a 6'4" player, that's all there for Matt Wood. Then you go to Fedor Svechkov, who they had this year, and Zachary Rourou, who started to make a dent on the NHL roster, and even guys like Joachim Kemmel, who are coming, and Teddy Stiga, who I mentioned. And there's a lot of guys who should be good players, who should be top nine players or top six defensemen. They still are missing that true, true premium prospect, though. You look around the league, they don't have, say, an Ivan Demidov like the Montreal Canadiens do. They don't have a Sam Dickinson like the San Jose Sharks do, or a Will Smith or a Macklin Celebrini like the San Jose Sharks do. They don't have an Artem Lebshunov like the Chicago Blackhawks do, or a Zeev Boyum like the Minnesota Wild do. So they're missing that true, true star prospect still, but very, very deep group, strong group of young players. They're going to help sort of insulate the forward group, especially for the Preds moving forward. But that's why a player like Higgins, I think, is so important that they land him.
There you go. That was Scott Wheeler of The Athletic, their kind of prospect guru, saying, hey, the Predators have a great prospect pool, but they don't have that high-end player. Well, they have the shot on Friday night to get him, and it should be noted, Adam Vingan tells me that DVD is going to have Scott Wheeler from The Athletic on their show Wednesday. Also, it is confirmed Barry Trotz will be on the program tomorrow, and we will be live at Bridgestone Arena, and we will have a sit-down with Barry Trotz ahead of the draft, ahead of free agency, ahead of all of it. So be listening for that. So I heard Robbie Stanley say something on the program this morning that I, you know, was a little not peeved by, because I understand what he was doing, but I think it underscores the importance of how big Friday night is. And I heard Robbie say, you know, let's talk about the moves the Predators may make this offseason for the NHL team. I've got draft thoughts with the first round coming up on Friday night, but we'll do that later in the week. And then they talked about, well, what about getting Johnny Joe? Well, he's a left shot. We need a right shot. Well, what about, you know, Sammy Samerson? You know, whatever. And I got to tell you, what the Predators do this offseason for the NHL roster, on the scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being what the Titans did with the first overall pick level of importance, I think it's like a 4 to me, a 4 out of 10. And that may be putting it kindly. And you can't tell me I don't have skin in the game. I'm a season ticket holder. So I will be going to the games next year. But I just, again, I'm thinking big picture. How they do next year. Burnett's on the hot seat. You know, Yossi's coming back from this POTS diagnosis. Saros, I think, stinks and is overrated. All those things. Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea, are they going to get any better this upcoming season? Are they going to compete to make a playoff spot? Are they going to surprise people and finally gel and come together and be what we thought they were going to be? Again, on a scale of 1 to 10, that's kind of a 5 for me. Which 5 doesn't mean it's not important. It just isn't the golden goose. Who they draft on Friday night and that they get it right. And again, they're not just picking at number 5. They're picking at 5, they're picking at 23, and they're picking at 26. That is a 10 out of 10 for me. And I know that there is a chance that that guy that they draft may not play in the NHL next season. I know there's a really legitimate chance. You know, if it's the Higgins kid that they take number 5 overall, and Higgins before the start of the season was considered to be the number 1 prospect and the number 1 guy, and all of a sudden, Schaefer had a great year. Misa had a great year. Higgins apparently didn't have a great year at Boston College. And now he's starting to slip because he's 5'10", 5'11"-ish. And all the other guys are 6'1", 6'2". And even though Sidney Crosby was 5'11", again, everybody wants that McDavid. That just Goliath on the ice. Well, I tell you, you're picking 5th, you ain't going to get McDavid. But there is a real shot that if they pick Higgins, that he goes back to Boston College this year. So you wouldn't even see Higgins until April. And the other two guys at 23 and 26, if they stay at 23 and they stay at 26 and that's where they end up picking, the other guys are probably more likely to not play in the NHL this year. And I get it. But again, who they pick on Friday night is more important to me than how they do this season. The moves they may make. Well, they need a right shot defenseman. And Rasmus Anderson is out there from Calgary, and he wants a new deal, and he's a right-shot defenseman. So could the Predators use one of their future picks? Because they got so many picks. Could they use one of those? Could they trade a couple of prospects? Could they get Brady Shea? And I don't know who's on Brady Shea's no-trade list, but could they get Brady Shea to waive it and go one-for-one defenseman of, hey, you get cost control for the next 7 years with Brady Shea. We get Rasmus Anderson for 1 year to play on the right side next to Yossi. Like, that's great. But that's just not that big of a deal to me. Because, again, no matter what this team does, they can make the playoffs next year. No matter what they do, they cannot win the Cup. If they draft the next Matthew Tkachuk, they can win the Cup. If they do that 6 years from now, 7 years from now, they can win the Cup. And so that's why Friday night is the cherry for me. And all the other stuff, it doesn't really compete. I don't care. Whatever. But Friday night, Friday night's got juice. Phone lines are by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 here on the program. And again, our phone lines are by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Scott is going to kick us off today. Scott, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
Yeah, how are you doing, Jared?
Good.
Good. So you were just addressing kind of what I wanted to ask you about, and I'm totally asking this respectfully, but I'm just curious, when you say they've got to knock this out of the park, they've got to get this right on Friday night, outside of an NBA draft or an NFL draft where those players play immediately, in the Major League Baseball and National Hockey League, how do you know if you've got it right when for a year, two, three, you may not even see these guys? How will you know that they've got it right, and when would you be able to make that assessment?
Let me ask you this question, Scott. Let me ask you this. When do you think you'd be able to know if you knocked it out of the park?
Well, I don't know, because so many players in the National Hockey League, they may be a fantastic first-rounder, but they may spend 3 years playing in college or in somewhere else, and by then you've let go of your coach and your general manager. And so I don't know. I'm asking you, how would you know that they've nailed it?
You'll know in 3, 4, 5 years. Thank you for your call, Scott. That's when you'll know. You'll know in 3 or 4 years. Like, I know you want the answer today. It doesn't work that way in the NHL. Bill Zito. And I'm not going to say he completely built the Florida Panthers, because Barkov was there and Ekblad was there and Bobrovsky was there when he got there. But Bill Zito just won his second cup. He has put together a team that has been to 3 straight Stanley Cup finals. And look, I mean, anybody can beat them. They went to 7 games with the Maple Leafs last year. And so I'm going to argue that it's probably more likely than not that they don't repeat. But if they go for a three-peat next year, they're a dynasty. It wasn't like in 2020, everybody knew, oh, Bill Zito, this is the best general manager ever. They didn't know that in 2021. Fired the coach. People said they will regret firing Andrew Burnett in 2022. They made the trade for Tkachuk in 23. They almost missed the playoffs. They had the same amount of points as that crappy John Hines waving the white flag Predators team. You are not going to know right away. And I know you want to know right away. I'd love to know right away, too. You're not going to know right away on Cam Ward. That's the thing I keep trying to tell you guys about Sam Darnold. You don't know right away unless it's Manning. And I know Manning had a tough rookie year, but you knew Manning was just great. Unless it's that. Jaden Daniels is the exception to the rule. Even Connor Bedard. This guy was supposed to be the greatest player since sliced bread coming out of the draft. Bedard's 2 years in. The Blackhawks still suck. You'll know in 3 or 4 years. But they better get it right on Friday night. And we'll know in 3 or 4 years. 615-737-1025. More your phone. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025 here on the program. The Predators did make a trade last week for Eric Halla. And I think most of you kind of missed the point as to why they did it. I will tell you why they did it. Because I understand it. Again, I'm not that worked up one way or another, but I understand what they did. So we'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, again, the draft Friday night. Right here, 102.5, 106 through the game. The Predators with three picks. Three of them. Three picks inside the first round. This week's Nationals best deal is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End is bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Holy crap, that sounds delicious. Grab a $30 gift card now for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenational.com/deals.
The minor gripe that I have with the Eric Halla trade is that the Predators should not be giving up assets for bad players. Now, a fourth-round pick, a minor league defenseman, in the grand scheme, not a huge deal. But it's sort of the principle of the matter for me. The Devils were looking to get rid of Eric Halla. They did not want Eric Halla anymore. They wanted to free up the cap space. They should have been giving the Predators something to take Eric Halla, not vice versa. But again, a minor gripe. But I'm just uncertain about the direction of this franchise right now.
There you go. That was Adam Vingan the other day talking about the Eric Halla trade. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I hear you on that because Predators fans were pissed. You know, when the Halla trade came down the pipe, we were on the air on Wednesday when the Halla news came down the pipe. And people were texting the text like, Jared, what is your take on Eric Halla? Jared, how can Barry Trotz be trading for Eric Halla? And I just want to address this because, again, I've said I don't care so much about what they do for next season as much as I care about what they do for the big picture, what they do on Friday night with the fifth pick. But here is what matters. What matters is not whether or not this team makes the playoffs next year and gets – three home dates in the building against Winnipeg and gets knocked out in six games. And at the end of the year, they raise their sticks to the fans and they move on. That's not what next year's about. To me, next year is about how many of these guys, when this team gets good again, this team won't be bad forever. When this team gets good again, how many of these guys are going to be a part of the solution? How many young guys are going to be a part of the big picture? And I've always said, for every five prospects you bring up or draft, you're likely to hit on one or maybe two of them for every five. And so, for instance, this past year, the young guys that they had on this team that they were counting on or they were building around were Luke Evangelista, didn't have a good year. Fedor Svechkov had a so-so year. Zachary LaRue kind of looks like a bottom six, really a fourth-line player. Again, they used a first-round pick on him, which I'm not totally enamored with, but that's reality. And then all these guys that played defense, whether it was Delgazzo, who needs a new contract, or Willsby, or whomever, Stasny that they called up, Blankenberg, whomever. They tried out Justin Barron. He sucks. And then Evangelista, who had a terrible season. Out of that group, one or two guys, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, when it is expected that David Edstrom will be on this team, that Joakim Kimmel will be on this team, that Matthew Wood will be on this team, that Tanner Mullendyke will be on this team, that Igor Surin will be on this team, that Teddy Stiga will be on this team. 5 years from now, one of those guys that played this year, maybe two, will be on the team. We'll just have to see. And again, of that list of guys I just mentioned, Wood and Mullendyke and Kimmel and Stiga and Surin and Edstrom and Schaefer, and one or two of those guys is going to make it, and the rest will be crap. That's just reality when it comes to prospects. The reason they made the Eric Halla trade, now, again, the Jeremy Hansel, the kid they traded to him, that's a nothing. And a fourth-round pick in the NHL. Again, I'm more in favor of crop-dusting the draft and just picking as many guys as possible and then seeing who ends up being good and who's not. But a fourth-round pick really isn't that big of a deal to me. A second-round pick is. A fourth-round pick really is not. But the reason they brought in Eric Halla is because I believe that they felt like last year there were too many opportunities where a young guy, perhaps Fedor Svechkov, maybe somebody else, but a young guy would be put into a defensive zone situation. And Andrew Burnett didn't necessarily want to put the young guys in defensive zone situations. Again, O'Reilly's not going to play a bottom six forward role. It's not going to happen. You knew he wasn't going to put Tommy Novak on the ice in a defensive zone situation. But if you've got a young center who's not great in his own end, you can't put him on the ice in D-zone situations. What are you going to do? If he can't win the draw in a D-zone situation, well, now all of a sudden, you're immediately giving the puck to the other team and giving them an opportunity. So what do? You go get a veteran who doesn't really cost you anything to bring in, and you stick him in your bottom six, and he's a guy who's familiar with how it goes down around here, and he's a guy who, I believe, Andrew Burnett's been around in the past, and he plays on the bottom six, and so now there's a defensive draw for Fedor Svechkov, and you want to win the D-zone draw, and Eric Halla takes it, not Fedor Svechkov. And that's how you build up those kind of young players that are already here. It's, again, it's a similar situation as to why I think the Titans need to go get Jonnu Smith to play tight end. Not because if Cam Ward pops, that when the Titans are competing for the Super Bowl with Cam Ward at quarterback, he's going to be throwing the ball to Jonnu Smith. I don't think he'll be throwing the ball to Jonnu Smith. I don't think he'll be throwing the ball to Calvin Ridley if he ends up popping. But you need Calvin Ridley. You need Dan Moore. You need Jonnu Smith. You need a defense that doesn't give up 30 points a game. You need those things to set Cam Ward up to improve. And that's no different for Svechkov, Evangelista, LaRue, these young bottom six forwards who they've got to get better. So the Halla trade, like, I get it. I'm not a big Halla guy, but I get it. And if you're looking at this through the lens of Eric Hall is not going to save the Predators, then you're right. But I'm telling you, they're not looking at it through the lens of Eric Hall is going to save the Predators. I'm telling you, I think they're looking through this of the lens of Eric Hall is going to play on the bottom six and give the young guys a shot to be better. LaRue, Evangelista, Svechkov, etc. 615-737-1025. Texter says, you said the fans will not tolerate another season where the Predators pick in the top five. Can you talk about what happens if the fans decide they won't tolerate it? What can they really do to force a change? You know, it's a funny question. 2 years ago at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, I randomly spent an entire night after the Super Bowl festivity, after Radio Row and everything. And I didn't spend the night, but I did spend the night hanging out with this one senior reporter. And this is a senior NFL reporter for one of the major journalism entities. And she said to me, she goes, you know what's crazy? Is all the work I've done in my career, college, you know, being a journalism major, the internships, building up, etc. When I put out a story, the amount of work, the amount of sourcing, the amount of detail that I go into for a piece that lands, again, at a major outlet. The work that I do to put out a piece. And yet all these owners just listen to talk radio. And I laughed because it's true. I mean, again, I went to college and I worked hard and I feel like I do things responsibly on the radio, etc. But I also know that I'm just a loudmouth who's just sitting here saying, here's what I think the team should do. And you bet your fanny that the owners of teams listen to this more than they probably read long-form, incredibly researched articles. The reason I say that is you say, what do we as fans have? If the fans decide we're not going to put up with another top five pick, what do we as fans have to say about it? Well, the truth is you speak with your wallets. In 2018, you couldn't get a ticket. It was the hottest ticket in town. Right now, Again, not to say that the Predators don't draw, because even for a bad season, they still sold a lot of tickets, and there were still a lot of people hitting me up for tickets because it's something to do in town. But you guys speak with your wallets, and they know that. You don't show up in the building. They don't renew season tickets. They don't. Those things happen. The other part of it where the fans come into play is the owners hear it. They listen to talk radio even though they say they don't. They hear your phone calls. They hear it. I know they do. So when I tell you that the fans aren't going to put up with this, Sam Presti is the general manager who just won the NBA Finals with OKC. Sam Presti's first draft pick as a general manager of the Seattle Supersonics was Kevin Durant. That's how long he's been an OKC for. Well, if you'll remember, OKC was very, very good with Durant and Harden and Westbrook, and then Durant went to Golden State, and all of a sudden they fell off the map. And we didn't even think about OKC in any regard. And Sam Presti's built it back. Do you think Sam Presti could have done that with the Knicks? Do you think Sam Presti, again, 2016, they went to Game 7. They had a 3-1 lead on Golden State. They lost to Golden State in Game 7. KD goes to Golden State the next year. We haven't, and I'm saying we as a society, haven't paid attention to OKC since 2016. That was 9 years ago. You think you can just fall away for 9 years in New York, Philadelphia, L.A.? Of course not. Why? Because the fans won't accept it. I think that's the case around here. If this team finishes poorly next year, and again, if you want to be good, you have to suck. And this team has only sucked for 1 year. But I just believe the way things work in this town, if the Predators aren't good next year, you people are going to run them all out of town and they're going to blow it up. Even though I'm not sure that that's the right thing to do, because I want to see how these young guys that Barry Trotz has been evaluating and drafting, I want to see if they're any good or not before I fire the guy who's drafting all these guys. So that's what I think will happen. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to weigh in. That's 615-737-1025 here on the program. Stillman and Company. Oh, there was a trade, by the way, in the NHL for a guy that, for a long time, had been mentioned around about here. And the return was not very good. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
We got a trade to announce.
Anaheim Ducks have traded Trevor Zegras to the Philadelphia Flyers for forward Ryan Poehling, the 45th pick in this year's draft, and a fourth-round pick in next year's draft. Zegras, much maligned in Anaheim, joins his former teammate, now teammate, and Jamie Drysdale plays defense for the Philadelphia Flyers. So they know each other. I'm sure there's that relationship, you know, already there. And I'm sure they've texted and talked to each other by now. But again, we've Danny Briere, the GM, and trying to make some differences in that lineup. And now with head coach Rick Tocchet, has some work to do to get Zegras back to where, you know, that expectation is.
And they got him cheap. Those are not big draft picks. Second's not bad. And projections I'm seeing on different sites here is Poehling's a fourth line center. They got him cheap. And that tells you that's all they could get around the league? Then that's a plebiscite and not a very good one in Trevor Zegras. He's 24. He's got lots of time. Going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to watching Jonathan Toews with the Jets. Now I'm interested in watching Trevor Zegras for completely different reasons with the Philadelphia Flyers.
Trevor Zegras, big trade, I guess. That was SiriusXM NHL Radio. That was their breakdown. So Anaheim finally got rid of Trevor Zegras, and I feel like Trevor Zegras is a name we've been talking about. Like, is Barry Trotz going to trade a first-round pick for Trevor Zegras? I feel like that is a name we've been talking about for a couple of years on the program of, you know, Trotz, if he wants to take a big swing, go get Trevor Zegras. And then I saw that he got traded today. And I was actually looking up somebody else's salary cap information. I think I was looking up the Islanders because I saw a report from Greg Wyshynski that the Islanders apparently want to take Matthew Schaefer at number one, and then they want to try to find a way to get back into the top five or four or whatever it'll be in order to get James Hagans. And the reason I bring this up is because when it comes to the Hagans thing, I'm like, all right, well, what do the Islanders have to offer me if I'm on the clock with Hagans at five? What do the Islanders have to offer me? And it's like, well, they do have a first-round pick that they acquired last year that is Colorado's first-round pick in 2027, maybe, that they could offer to try to get back into the top five. And I'm like, no. Like, it better be good if you want to take James Hagans or whomever from me at number five. And as I was at the Puckapedia page, I saw Trevor Zegras got traded. So, oh, okay. And it, I clicked it because it was like polar for Zegras. I have no idea who this guy he got traded for was. So he got traded for some center I've never heard of, a second and a fourth. The Preds could have had Trevor Zegras if they wanted Trevor Zegras. So this tells me two things. Number one, Zegras had almost no market, even though he had so much hype. Well, he had a great college career, and he was on the cover of the video game, and I don't give a rat's ass. This dude did not, I don't think he even cracked 60 points one time. Number two, the way to build your team in this sport, if you're not picking number one, number two every year, and again, let's not kid ourselves. In order to win the Cup, you really do have to pick number one or number two, unless you're the 2019 Blues. Everybody else has picked at some point number one, number two, number three, something like that. Even Dallas picked Miro Heiskanen in number three in the draft. If you're going to do that, the way to do it is you've got to get a couple of studs. You got to draft them. And then you've got to take guys that other teams think is a pony but is really a horse. And that's what the Florida Panthers have done better than probably anybody else. They've taken high-end, high picks that, again, they weren't great, like Bennett and Reinhardt, and they flourished as older, more experienced players in the league. You buy low and you sell high. They traded Jonathan Huberdeau, who had his best season, for Matthew Tkachuk. But Trevor Zegras, that's not the kind, just because he was on the cover of the video game, that's not the kind of guy that you have to bring in to take a crack at. For me, I think the Predators do need to take some chances, but if you're giving up a first-round pick, to me, it's a lot more than just taking a chance. One texter said, I wish Barry Trotz was the GM of the Titans. Maybe you'd be okay with everything they did then. I don't know. If Barry Trotz went out there and made moves that I didn't like, I've been on his ass before. I've told Barry Trotz directly, don't sign the goalie. I said it. It's on the record. I ripped his ass with him on the show the day of the trade deadline when who was that slow ass? Shen. When Luke Shen got dealt for a second round pick after they traded him and Tommy Novak and only got a fourth and Michael Bunting in return. Though I will say, Michael Bunting, I had never heard of him before. I actually kind of like Michael Bunting's game. One texter says, why didn't they trade Sissons or Michael McCarron last year? Mismanagement of the team and the roster. And that's fine because Barry Trotz can't look through this with any lens because he should have moved Sissons or McCarron or Ryan O'Reilly if he truly wants to develop or get a return. So I will say this. I thought they should have dealt O'Reilly last year. I definitely thought they should have dealt Sissons or McCarron. I don't know what was being offered, so I can't tell you. My sense of this is that they'll deal those guys this year if the team's not very good. But I don't disagree with you that I've seen enough of Michael McCarron. I've seen enough of Cole Smith. And on defense, I've seen enough of these guys from Milwaukee who they all kind of seem to be the same. Like, they all kind of seem to be the same kind of player. I am tired of seeing those guys. Barron, Willsby, Blankenberg. You know, the whole Spencer Stastny thing was all screwed up for one reason or another. But I am tired of seeing the same guy out there on defense, out there with Lazan and whomever else that they actually have out there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to weigh in. Game 7 of the finals. I did watch Game 7 of the finals last night. And I think most people watched Game 7 of the NBA finals last night. And Game 7 apparently drew a very big TV rating. Congrats to OKC. But we know what the story of Game 7 was. And I do think that that story is going to change how all of us look at our own teams, including football, baseball, whatever, not just basketball. I'll explain. We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.